Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. It's all creation groaning. It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. It is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He
thank you so much, Vicki. Beautiful song. Good morning, everybody. Glad you could make it this morning. Vicki, that song, that little scroll, what does it say? It is finished. Seven seals, seven signatures of Jesus Christ always designates the finished work of Christ. And it is finished. I'm here to tell you this morning, it is finished. Tetelestai. You can clap. It's finished. It is finished. What is? Everything that God has done and provided for you and for me. None of it is an afterthought. None of it is done on the spur of the moment. Nothing is coincidence. Nothing is not completely thought out and provided free of charge. It's grace. It's all grace from beginning to end. Today we're going to talk about wealth management 101. Or, as I call it, time well spent. Time is money. I was just watching a movie. I just happened to turn it on. Justin Timberlake was the star of the movie. Wonderful actor, that guy. It was about the whole society worked on time. So how much did you get paid at your job? They'd go in and they put time on their, they had a chip in their arm. They put time on it. That's what you got. You got time. And everything cost time. If you went to the store to buy a loaf of bread and a piece of meat, you had to pay for it with time. It was 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes. And other things were very expensive. So time is money. Time well spent. Sunday, April 24th, 2022. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. That's what this is about. Chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes is about casting your time, your bread, on the waters. What are waters? Waterways in life. The water of the word, I always say, as does the scriptures of truth. Husbands, wash your wives with the water of the word, and they'll be clean, and so will you. Let's clean things up. Let's wash with the water of the word. Pure water. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast your bread. What's bread? You got any bread? Yeah, here. Let me pull out my wallet. Here's some bread. Some green bread. Moldy green bread. On the surface of the waters. You walk down the road and there's this Chartier's Creek. Oh, we have Chartier's Creek out here. Chartier's Creek. And it's flowing pretty good. Down behind us anyway. It flows. It's like almost like a river these days. For whatever reason, probably because we have so much rain. But anyway, so you take your bread, you're feeding the geese back there, bread, and the deer, because there's deer and geese, and you cast it on the water, and it flows down into Houston, over to Carnegie, and down to the Ohio River. Is it the Ohio River that the Chartier's Creek flows into, Lou? He thinks it is. And if he thinks it is, that's good enough for me. So cast your bread on the water. Go down, take out your wallet, and cast your bread, your money, on the water. And it says, you will find it after many days. Don't be too careful. Be like Jesus, who, knowing that Judas was embezzling funds, yet he allowed him to be the treasurer. He took care of the money bag. Why? Because he doesn't look at things like we do. And we need to look at things like he does. That's why we appointed Dan and Matt to handle the money bag. I don't think they're stealing, are they, Brad? Not that we know of. Okay, good. We'd still let them do it, even if they did. Jesus let Judas do it. He knew it. He knows everything simultaneously. That's John 12:6. Jesus said, he's a thief. And we made him the treasurer. John 12:6. That's verse 1. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, and you will find it after many days. Not right away, but after many days. After many days have elapsed. Has a good return on investment, but you get to wait. Then he says, next, divide your portion to seven or even to eight. For you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. What he's saying here is diversify. Have different streams of income, different investments that yield dividends or returns. Next he says, if the clouds are full, that means full of water, they pour out rain upon the earth. You can't stop it. Those are things that are controlled by God through weather angels. You said, are angels in charge of weather? Yeah. I can show you another time that angels are in charge of weather. They're gusts of wind and flames of fire. Let that suffice for now. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. Then he says, and whether a tree falls toward the south, or toward the north, that's Pittsburgh is north, south is Wheeling. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever that tree falls, there it lies. You have no control over where trees fall, whether to the north or to the south, or how many of them fall in a storm. Verse 4 says, he who watches the wind will not sow. He will not plant. If he's watching the weather forecast too carefully, Stephen Cropper's on, and he says it's going to be a very windy day. And it turns out not to be so windy. Or he says it's not going to be a windy day. It turns out to be very windy. That happens all the time. Because man doesn't control the weather, nor can he forecast the weather accurately. He who watches the wind will not sow. He says, it's going to be a windy day. I'm not going to sow today. I'm not going to plant. That's what sow means, plant. And he who looks at the clouds, see dark clouds up there, will not reap. I'm not going to harvest them. I'm not going to cut the fields and let them lay because they'll get wet. And they'll be worthless. They'll be damaged by water, like hay. You can't lay in the water. You've got to have a dry day so that you can cut it. And then you, what do you call that? Where you, I know, bale. The other thing, you fluff it. Then you bale it on a dry day. You say, you don't know what you're talking about. True. I do not. Not with any detail. Anyway, so he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds, looks like rain, will not harvest or reap. Verse 5. Just as you do not know the path of the wind, and how bones are formed in the womb. That is a great mystery and a miracle. Just as you do not know the path of the wind, you don't know where the wind comes from, where it goes. Jesus said, such are those born of the Spirit, he said to Nicodemus. You do not know the path of the wind or how bones are formed in the womb. From two cells, a male and female cell, these bones, skeleton, wonderfully made, human person comes forth. If you've ever seen that, if you've ever witnessed that, and you don't believe in God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, creator of all things, then there's something terribly wrong. You have a serious disconnect. It can't be any other way. It is a great miracle. I watched and held three of mine. It changed me forever. And I know it has you. For any of you that have children. And other things happen in other people's lives. And it's equally miraculous if you don't have children. And today I wouldn't have any. If it was up to me. You say, well, why would you say that? Because look at the world we live in. It's a dangerous place. The Lord said to his prophet, Jeremiah, you're not going to marry. He said, oh, Lord, but I always wanted to get married and have a family. You're not going to have any children. Because if you do, you'll bury them. You'll pick their corpses up off the ground and bury them. So what good would that be? These are perilous, dangerous times. No one knows what lies ahead, only the Lord. So we trust him implicitly, and he'll get us through it. Take us into his heavenly kingdom safely. He'll bring us safely through. So, just as you do not know the path of the wind or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know anything. The activity of God, who makes everything. God makes everything. He controls everything. He steers and controls the events of human history. And everyone's personal life and history, also behind the scenes. And yes, everything happens for a reason. If you haven't discovered that by now, where have you been? You must have been asleep. In other words, God's ways are inscrutable. That's my and Ty's favorite word, inscrutable. We like that word. His ways are inscrutable. You can't trace them out. You can't figure them out. You can't understand them. They're so far-reaching, so deep and wide and high and long. And we're so limited in our native ability and intelligence. Verse 6. I'm reading this first, and we'll go back and treat some of this. Sow your seed in the morning. Plant in the morning. Plant seed in the morning. I think you know what I'm going to say. The most important meal of the day is breakfast. For getting the word in your soul. For eating the word of God. It'll nourish you all day long. Eat a big breakfast. And you'll have a good day. Things will make sense. Things that otherwise would not make sense will make sense that day. By eating, finding and eating the word. And you'll have joy and rejoicing in your heart. Sow your seed in the morning. And yet, do not be idle in the evening either, for you do not know whether morning or evening planting will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. So, first thing you do every morning is very important to overall success, and what it does is it provides options and opportunities throughout the day and on into the evening. Important principles. You say, is that what Solomon's saying? Yes, and he doesn't even know it. Verse 7. The light of the sun is pleasant. And it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Wasn't yesterday beautiful? And isn't today beautiful also? It's good. We like days like this. I've been waiting for it. I'm so tired of cold and dreary weather. I needed some sun. I'm getting sad, S-A-D-D. Sad. What's that stand for? Thank you very much. Seasonal affective disorder. Get sad, getting real sad, gloomy, inside and out. So, what he means is, the light is pleasant, it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Make the most of your daylight hours. You say, is that what he's saying? Yeah, but he doesn't even know it. Make the most of your daylight hours. Verse 8, indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember likewise the days of darkness. Let him remember likewise that days of darkness will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility.
There we go again,
Solomon, slipping into darkness. What he's saying is they're meaningless and empty lives all around you. Do you know that? Have you noticed? They're meaningless and empty lives all around you. Some people are pretty good at pretending that they're not, and yet you know they are, because how could they not be? With the things that they've chosen, the things that they've prioritized, the things that they love, which can't love you back. Verse 9, rejoice, young man. Anybody young here? Young? Rejoice, young man and young lady. During your childhood, let your heart be pleasant. During the days of your youth, young manhood, young womanhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know this, that God will bring you to judgment for every one of your choices. You're going to pay the piper, and God is the piper. He's gracious. He wants you to have a good life. Jesus came that you might have eternal life and abundant life. John 10:10. Verse 10. So remove grief and anger from your heart. You don't want to carry those around. They're destructive. Self-destructive. And put away pain from your body. And he says, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. So here's what we're saying. We're going back. We're going to treat this again. If time is money, how much do you have? How much money do you have? How much time do you have? You say, no one knows that for sure. Well, guess what? If time is money, the first question is, how much do you have? The second question is, how much do you give? The third question is, how much do you save? The next question is, how much do you spend? The next question is, how much have you invested in this life and or in the life to come? Wealth is measured, Chris can tell you this, in ownership equity. Ownership equity. You don't have to own the whole thing, but you have to have equity. Equity. It's the money you invested in a piece of real estate or in something else. And besides, we are on borrowed time. You have equity, ownership equity, but you're on borrowed time. It's only good as long as you live. Then somebody else gets it, or the state gets it. Wealth is really managed, or managed, is really measured in, who can guess? Nobody? Generosity. Wealth is really, it's wealth and generosity of spirit. Wealth is measured in generosity. It's measured in secret giving. No one must know what you give. You have to give in such a way that there's no paper trail. You never give in order to get, ever. That thought never even comes into your mind. Not for tax advantages, if there should be any. Never give as an obligation, but only as a celebration. With gratitude, gladness, being as Jesus said. And only Paul knows this saying of Jesus. The only place it's found, Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to get. More blessed to give than to receive. Where money is concerned, it is accumulated over the long haul by sound biblical principles that stand opposed to conventional wisdom. Most people spend first, save second, and give third. That's the order. how they manage their money. In that order, and as a result, they have little to show for it. Spending first significantly impacts the saving and giving options depending on how much spending is done. Too much spending means that savings suffer and giving is out of the question. There's nothing left. Here's what God says we're to do it, and it's the only way that it works. Give first, save second, and spend third. That's how you do it. Give, save, and spend. Ecclesiastes 11:1, Ecclesiastes, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, and you'll find it after many days. Return on investment, ROI. Anybody who's ever been in business knows about ROI. How long it's going to take to get your money back. Return on investment. Here, according to the scriptures, will come in multiples many days hence. You're not looking for it even. You don't look for it. You just do what the Word of God says and it comes back. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. Shaken together. We don't preach on money here. We just do when we come across it in the scriptures, and this is what it's all about. In Ecclesiastes 11. Next thing we're going to see in 12, the final chapter, is what this is all about and what happens when you get old, when you head for a headstone. That's what Solomon sees. He's in a dark frame of mind. But he sees, finally, the answer. It's rhetorical, of course. Given it shall be given to you good measure. Good measure. Pressed down. Condensed. Shaken together. You know, when you shake something, you put stuff in a dish or in a jar, and then you shake it and it settles. This is shaken together. It's more in there than you think. You can't imagine that much could fit. It's such a small jar of oil and such a small container of flour. Enough to feed you and a family of two for 3.5 years. Like Elijah and the widow of Zarephath and her son. Shaken together and flowing over, overflowing, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that you measure, it shall be measured again back to you. How about that? Right when it's needed, so that you can give even more to the worthy cause. First cause, first worthy cause, the cause of Jesus Christ. The cause of proclaiming the best news anyone can believe, hear and believe. The cause of publishing the word of Christ and broadcasting it to the world to call people out of the world into the kingdom of heaven. Bread is money. Money buys bread, which stands for food, shelter, clothing, transportation, all other logistics needed and used in life. And God knows that you need all those things, but you don't live for them. You live for the Lord, and he provides all those things for you. Having all that you need, you can then help someone else get some of the things they need if they don't have them. If you do, it will add to your satisfaction. That's what it does. And you know this because you're all giving people. Far more than indulging yourself or wadding it away, which you will find very difficult to do. Why? Because you spend first, save second, and give third. It doesn't work that way. Usually what happens is we want what others have and buy whatever it is that we think that we must have with credit cards. Anybody ever get caught in that trap? Whew, it's a bad one. They'll be chasing you for the rest of your life if you don't pay them back. They'll get you eventually, somehow or another, sooner or later. So, Buy whatever you think you need with credit cards, which is a sure recipe for financial disaster. That's free advice. You don't have to pay me for that. Where giving is concerned, though we would like to help everyone, we must realize that we cannot, but that we can help someone in some way. Therefore, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. That's a good piece of advice from the Scripture, borne out by the teachings of Jesus. But as it is in everything, make sure you're led by the Holy Spirit. People target you for that, and they have plenty, but they want what you have, and they'll do anything to get it. Yes, you can give a $100 bill to the guy at Walmart standing there with his cute dog. You ever see him? Oh, that dog is so cute. He's so well behaved. That thing evokes so much generosity from the traveling public. It's unbelievable. I bet that guy got so much money. I say every other car stop gave a donation to the dog. Dog was wearing a diamond studded collar. No, he wasn't. They started to dress down. They weren't getting enough, so they dressed down. The dog, he shaved some spots on the dog so he looked like he was mangy, so you get more money. Whatever. It's a good gig for somebody like that. They have colleges for that called Beggar's College. You can go there and learn how to do it. Now, if the guy's truly needy, I'm not making fun of him. I understand that some people must do that. They've always been around the poor. Jesus said, you will always have with you. It's an opportunity for you to give. So make sure you're led by the Holy Spirit. It's not a lame excuse to be stingy or withhold help, but a wise precaution for even greater generosity. Now we have the following verses which tell the story. Just listen. Just relax and listen. This tells the whole story. Proverbs 28:27. You can write them down if you like. If you're like Carl, you write them all down and you look them up. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but a curse will come upon those who close their eyes to poverty. How about Proverbs 3:27? Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when you know that you're supposed to help somebody, when it is in your power to do it. Don't withhold when it's in your power to do it. Do good for someone. Psalm 112:5. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs righteously. Psalm 112:9. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn, that is their life and the power of their life and their influence, will be lifted high. Their blessedness lifted high in honor. Psalm 119:36. Turn your heart toward your statutes. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Or 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God, because Paul is going to proclaim the word of Christ and all the good things that are ours in Christ. Acts 20:35. In everything, Paul says, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You have to build bigger barns. give it all away. Proverbs 11:24. One person gives freely, very generous, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed, thus saith the Lord. Deuteronomy 15:7. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, they were freely given to you. You have lands and homes and things that you didn't work for, and God gave them to you. He says, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. What's that you got in your hand there? Go give me a crowbar. He's tight-fisted. We're going to pry his hand open. Don't be tight-fisted toward them. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever it is they need. You haven't heard that verse, have you? 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in the present world, commanding you, not to be arrogant nor to put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Look what everything costs. You can get a brand new Chevy Blazer for $50,000. Is that a good price? They're advertising that like it's a good price. $50,000? Really? I can't even believe what things cost. That's because I'm old. You know, when I was a kid, the large candy bars were a nickel. Now they're way more than that. Those are little. Yeah, that's the way things are today. So, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. That's good advice. Invest your time in the kingdom of God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Yes, he wants you to enjoy life. Yes, he does. He has no problem with you being happy and enjoying life, if it's done on the right basis. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. That's the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. You can use your funds to gain rewards if you do things, right things in the right way for the right reason. So that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. I mean a really good life. 2 Corinthians 9:5. Paul says, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift that you had promised. They promised a gift in Corinth. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given, out of a sense of obligation. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Notice I did this after the offering, not before. God forbid that we would shake anybody down. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not 10%. 100% of your heart. Then the rest of it doesn't matter at all. And you'll decide. God doesn't override your free will, free volition. And the opportunity that you have to do something great, do something good. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a hilaros. Hilarious. Or cheerful giver. That's what he likes. Luke 21:1. We're almost done with this. They're just hanging. I told you to relax and just take in the information. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow who put in two very small
pennies, copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow's put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their abundant wealth. They just gave a tiny little bit. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had. She's putting all of her eggs in one basket. Lord, take care of me. It's everything I have is yours. These two copper coins, take care of me. And indeed he did, I'm sure he did. Jesus recognized it. And that indicates that she's taken care of. Matthew 6:1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Don't tell anybody what you've done. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So be careful that you don't do that. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. I can just see them. Nothing's worse than a religious hypocrite. Somebody announcing their good deeds. Makes me sick. I can only imagine what it does to the Lord. He says, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. As he said to the church of Laodicea. Because he said, we're rich and have need of nothing. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In another place it says openly, publicly. Now, verse 2. Divide your portion to 7 or 8. Even to 8. For you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. In human wisdom, from divine view, or from human viewpoint, and practically speaking, it's a good idea to diversify. Mutual funds, bonds, stocks, annuities, real estate, precious metals. How about cryptocurrency? Venture capital. And yes, last but not least, and I don't recommend you do it, loan sharking. Even with all these, there's still no guarantee. Therefore, though some of these make sense, we commit all that we do to the Lord, rest assured, He'll always provide all that we need, enough for us, and enough to help others. There are those here that give unbelievable amounts of money. It's bewildering to even see or know anything about it. And they'll tell you that there is nothing that they lack. Nothing. Many of them are retired. They know they cannot give God, and have seen these principles work in their lives in such wonderful ways that they could never deny the truth that these passages proclaim. Since, as the saying goes, time is money, so be careful to spend yours wisely. Time, your time. Verse 2, divide your portion to 7 or 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth, spiritually speaking. Even so, invest in 7 or 8 streams of biblical truth, of Bible doctrine, tributary streams that flow together. Hedge your bet for time as well as eternity. Those who are careful will spend their time wisely so that in the end they have something to show for it. Psalm 90:12 used to belong to Matt Schultz, but now it belongs to me. It's mine, my very own verse. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom, a heart filled with theology, the study and nature of God's character, How about anthropology? There's 10 of these. I said there was 7 before, and I knew there was 10, but I just listed 7 that are most pertinent or relevant. Anthropology, the study of human nature in the Bible. Bibliology, the study of the Bible as to its content. Angelology, how about that? Study of angels. It'll do you good to study angels, since they're everywhere, and that you have one of your own, and probably a fallen one sent to buffet you. Probably. Christology, the study of Christ. Ecclesiology, not Ecclesiastes, ecclesiology, the study of the church. Eschatology, the study of end times, of prophecy. Hamartiology, the study of sin. Pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. Soteriology, not in any order, not in any specific order. The study of salvation. Soteriology, the study of salvation. There's 10 streams. Choose 8. 7 or 8, the 10. Verse 3. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. As sure as rain falls from moisture-laden clouds, and it does every time, and as sure as trees fall in all directions you cannot foresee or anticipate, what will occur? You have no idea what's going to happen in the next moment. Therefore, we make sure that we trust in the Lord and forsake all others. What we do know is that, as Paul said in Philippians 4:19, my God will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By and because of Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. For you are dearly loved, don't you know? Richly blessed, don't you know? Highly favored. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Rich beyond measure. You never have to worry about having enough of anything, enough of whatever it is that you need. Verse 4. He who watches the wind will not sow, he who looks at clouds will not reap. If you think you can prognosticate with any certainty or accuracy market trends or conditions, you'll become disheartened and disappointed. It takes way too much time. And time, being money, is all you have. So you don't want to spend too much time doing such things. You got 5 screens in front of you watching the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones and all. I know people who do it. Try as you may, this tree or that tree will fall to the north or to the south, the opposite direction that you wanted it to. And it will be a windfall one day and a thunderstorm the next, depending on the underlying events and investor confidence, world or global markets, supply and demand, inflation, consumer index, GNP forecasts, unemployment, futures, shifts, mergers and acquisitions. Can you keep track of all that? I don't think so. It will be a wasted life. Verse 5, just as you do not know the path of the wind or how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. There's only one sure bet. Trust in the Lord who made all things and who alone controls all things. In this, you can't go wrong. Psalm 22:5. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Romans 9:33. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. Romans 10:11. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. And in 1 Peter 2:6. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. 4 witnesses. The mouth of 2 or 3 is enough, but I gave you 4. So that's more than enough. What an advantage you have in being his dearly loved child. Don't you think it's about time you act like one? I know it's time for me to act more like one than I ever have before. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning. Do not be idle in the evening. Here we go. We'll finish up with this. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike
will be good. Here it is. Most importantly, sow your seed in the morning. And then do some additional sowing throughout the day on into the evening. It won't hurt. Help. It'll help. One or the other, perhaps both, will succeed. Tend your garden. Till your soil. Remove the rocks. Plant your seed. Pull the weeds. Water, water, water. Grow, grow, grow. Yield. Harvest. Eat. Give. Enjoy the abundant harvest of righteousness from the Lord, the abundant life that's yours in Jesus. He came to give it to you. Take it. John 10:10. The light is pleasant, and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. That is the sun. Who's the sun? The sun, the sun, the sun in the sky? He always represents the sun. The brilliant illumination of who God is, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, the Son of righteousness, who rises each day with healing in his wings in Malachi 4:2, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Second Peter 1:19. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I think I'll write a song about that. Lamentations 3:21 to 24. Welcome each new day by getting the word of Christ in your frontal lobe, in your heart. And it will be a good, very good day. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. Let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Here he goes again, down into the doldrums of the rich and famous. Looking into the soul of somebody who's very wealthy and well known. Who lacks, despite all of that, lacks a personal sense of meaning and purpose in his life. Isn't that sad? Who are looking for that which is hidden in plain sight, which eludes them every day by the things they choose, the things they rely on, which thus far have not delivered. And they can't imagine why. Sure seems like this stuff should make you happy. There are things everybody chases. And their favorite Bible verse confirms that it is so. Which one's that? Ecclesiastes 10:19. I hope you put it on your refrigerator. Men prepare a meal for enjoyment. Wine makes life merry. And money is the answer to everything. Did you put that one on your refrigerator? That's called sarcasm. Doesn't the Bible say this is true? Yeah, it says it there. It does. If you are I don't want to even do this. Forget it. I was going to talk about somebody I know who was of a splinter group, a cult. I won't. But God put me in touch with somebody years ago, and not only do they believe that money will make you happy, but they also believe that drinking makes you happy. And all it does is physically depress you. You say, well, it makes me loose as a goose. That's what you need to be, is looser than a gooser. That's what you need to be. You're already loose. You don't need to be as loose as a goose. Psalm 104:15, they claim as their mantra. Verse 9, we'll finish this up. I got to finish up the chapter. Next time we meet on Tuesday, we'll do chapter 12. Probably Tuesday and Sunday, and then we're done. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Don't. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Except that he imputed all of your sins, charged them all, blamed them all on Christ. So you get a fresh start each and every day. Sow your wild oats, but know that sooner or later,
you will pay the piper. Even though you're a believer, you'll reap at least some of what you sow, not all of it, some of what you sow. And your sins will find you out. That's never changed. Sin has consequences. Numbers 32, 23. And your backslidings will definitely chasten you in Jeremiah 2:19. In some instances, even though you're forgiven and restored, the sword will not depart from your house. You have to know that that's true in 2 Samuel 12:10. Hopefully, you won't kill anybody and or permanently injure yourself. Be careful that you don't do that, because that's a big price to pay. Hopefully, you'll be sought and found by the Lord, believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, come to understand what you're here for, and get to it before too many years, too much time elapses. All things, including mankind, were made by the Word of God in Hebrews 11:3. Everything in all of material creation is made up of nothing more than the Remata. What's that? The spoken word. God spoke. Christ spoke it into existence. Therefore, you were made by the Word of God for the Word of God. It's the only thing that can satisfy you and bring you the happiness that you seek. There are those who hear me who don't believe that this is so. You know what I say to them? Have fun without me. So remove grief and anger from your heart. Put away pain from your body. And he says, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Don't be angry. And while you still can, without the aches and pains of old age, enjoy your youth and young adulthood. Life goes by very quickly. Don't waste it on meaningless things. We'll see in the final chapter that what happens to our bodies, our minds, and our senses as age takes its toll and our natural and physical abilities decline and diminish, and everybody's do. Even Colonel Thieme, in the end, had Alzheimer's, didn't even know who he was or where he was. You say, how could that be? It's true. Can be. And probably will. At some point, you live long enough. It can also be an exciting time as our life draws to a close. I'm counting on that. All the money in the world can't buy youth and health. But only that which you buy without money will stand by you in the end. Anybody been through exceeding great trauma and the Word of God saved your soul in time because you took advantage of your opportunity to take it in? Have it there when you needed it. I have. It works. And you can never convince me otherwise. Only the converted soul can enjoy the golden years and die gracefully in peace when the time comes. Those who are saved by grace in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, who grow in grace in 2 Peter 3:18, and live by grace in Romans 5:17, reign by grace, will in the end, likewise, die with grace as one who has kept their heart like a treasure chest full of precious things, the precious Word of God, gold, silver, and precious stones. There will be no fear of death, and as promised, you'll neither taste it nor see it. For you, it will be a seamless transition. John 8:51. Jesus said it, not me. I'm just telling you what he said because I studied and looked it up. And here it is, John 8:51, 52. Truly, truly. I like when he says truly, truly. That means there's no question about the veracity of truth or truthfulness of what he is about to say. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Woo! Dying grace. What a wonderful promise that is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Vicki, if you would get ready, please. We so appreciate these things, practical matters, and yet spiritual matters, to be sure. We thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Bless this congregation. They're so wonderful, Father. Thank you for those who love your word. They're a gift. We're gifts to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
If we could all stand.